Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
For the best TV on the go, choose Deploy IPTV. Sports, news, movies, WWE, UFC, drama, pay-per-view, video on demand, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Deploy IPTV Android app from the Google Play Store today. You can also subscribe at deployiptv.com and say goodbye to that big TV bill. So how much does this all cost? Only $6 per month. So deploy it today. Go to deployiptv.com or on the Google Play Store, look for Deploy IPTV.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The Big Dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh!
Here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the post-WrestleMania frenzy, the chaos, if you will, the aftermath, the aftershock, the remnants of what was a very memorable weekend. And for those of you who have attended in person, such as myself, you know it was a hell of a show. Or at least if you didn't get blinded by the light, to quote a song, and yours truly was one of those individuals blinded by those blue lights. And some hilarious tweets about red light, green, blue light. Everybody, you know, basically playing a little bit of a pun on the Pitbull song with blue light rather than green light. So it was a weekend to remember, that's for sure. I'll be honest, in person, it was a little bit disappointing outside of the peak of the show, which I believe was really the Hardy Boys return and the pop of the night, no question about it. So there's just too much to cover. And honestly, there's not enough time to cover it all. So if you're interested in joining the conversation, you can do so. Otherwise, I mean, I'm just going to kind of really go through as much as I can for the time I have here. But if you do feel like joining the conversation, you're more than welcome at 714-868-0800. That's 714-868-0800, and just press 1. When you press 1, you get put into the calling queue, and I know you want to talk and get on the air, and we can talk everything from WrestleMania to the Hall of Fame to NXT or Raw after Mania, SmackDown Live after Mania. And like I said, this is a show that could go 12 hours and we'd still not run out of content to discuss. So feel free. You can also tweet me at Matt's Madness. You can go to WWEPodcast.com for all of the podcasts that are here. Or if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, follow me on Blog Talk Radio under the WWE Podcast. So, guys, thank you for joining me. And, wow, I mean, as I said at the top of the show, I attended WrestleMania. I flew in Friday, midday, got my rental car, got to the hotel room, and just kind of perused around Orlando. And I attended the Hall of Fame, not all of it, just because I had the cheap seats. I'll be honest. I had the cheap seats of the Hall of Fame. And if you are up on the upper level, you can't hear a damn thing. It was hard to hear, I think, because of the acoustics. By the time the individual on stage was speaking, their voice was already bouncing off of the ceiling, and so it was interfering with what they were saying, at the time. And it was just a mess to hear. So I didn't last too long, but I saw the rest of it on the WWE Network. So that was, a very good ceremony. I heard Beth Phoenix went on for an eternity and a half. And I'm glad I did not stick around for, but I did see DDP get inducted. That was very cool to see Eric Bischoff back and the welcome back chants and all of that. So that was very cool. And obviously WrestleMania was the main event. And I was on the lower level. And I'll tell you, WWE does, I understand they want their crowd to look cool and have a nice visual for, all their sky shots and every camera angle they can imagine. I get it, but they need to really rethink maybe their priorities in the fact that you have some very angered fans, including myself, that the blue lights or whatever color lights they have shining into the crowd were directly in your face. And it was to the point of annoyance, everything. I mean, I don't care, how good you think your eyesight was. It was blinding, unbelievable. It started during the women's title match, and it just continued. And I'm sure you guys heard it on the broadcast, turn the light off or we can't see. I was participating in those. It was frustrating, but didn't last all night. It was kind of off and on. And so anyway, outside of that, it was a great experience. My second WrestleMania, only second to WrestleMania 20 in Madison Square Garden. So it's been 13 years since I've been to a WrestleMania, and it was a hell of a time. Obviously the temperature was perfect, especially evening time. It was very hot during the day, but it cooled off nicely. And, the crowd came up with some great chants. And seeing the let me start here. I'm going to go through the matches, but just some things that stick out in my mind beyond those little annoyances, I guess the highlights, obviously the Hardy Boys. First thing that comes to mind, I've been to some loud events. I've heard some loud pops. That is up there. Maybe because there are 75,000 other voices also screaming for the Hardy Boys. And it was an awesome return. It was adrenaline pumping. And, I think maybe that's one of the things WrestleMania was missing from a surprise standpoint. Okay, we had the Hardys return, but, no Rock, no Austin, no Ronda Rousey. It was missing those big moments, those mega stars that just seem to have a staple every year. And I know that they are probably all done wrestling in ring, but you can have them come out, give a Rock Bottom, give a Stone Cold Stunner. You can fit it into your 6.5-hour show and cut out some of the fluff. So I guess from that perspective, I was a bit disappointed. And the fact that if you guys not only were in attendance or have attended WrestleMania before, you know that the pillars that they set up, these outdoor arenas, if you're in the wrong position, the pillars that are in place really do block your view. And I was also in an unfortunate position, paying $300 for one ticket. You'd expect to have, at least a very clear view of the ring, but I was just positioned at the wrong angle. So, but outside of that, Undertaker retiring, seeing Jim Ross return was awesome. I really did not expect that whatsoever. I think that seeing him out there was awesome. I know that he was very gracious to have called The Undertaker's final match, which we didn't know until it was afterwards that it was his final match. But I'll be honest, I don't think it really is, and I'll get to that soon. But seeing him there, and if that was indeed Undertaker's final moments in ring, that was very cool. I know he needs a hip replacement. Seeing Goldberg Lesnar, I think, also was very cool. And seeing really them put on the best match that they possibly could and redeem themselves from an awful WrestleMania 20 match. So that was very cool, too. Roman Reigns, and I'm going to get to him now. So Roman Reigns got, I mean, I would say it was 80% anti-Reigns, if not more, and that may be being kind at WrestleMania. The crowd absolutely just shredded him on Raw. And I'm going to get to Monday Night Raw, too, because that reaction was awesome. And I'm going to get to that just in a moment. My mind is going in 40 directions. I'm trying to keep this in some kind of concise, easy-to-follow order, but there's so many talking points. And if, by the way, guys, if you're listening and you want to chime in, 714-868-0800, 714-868-0800, press 1, and you'll get into the calling queue. And, hell, everything's on the table. Anything and everything WrestleMania-related, I am down to talk about. So Roman Reigns, as I said, got murdered by the WrestleMania crowd. And I think not having a roof over the building kind of let a little bit of the noise escape. And I'll tell you this, Monday Night Raw, that was one of the biggest, loudest negative reactions I've heard in a very long time. And WWE, with all of their nonsense, corporately packaged, just mumbo-jumbo, corporate-speak propaganda that, well, love him or hate him, people stand up and they make noise when he comes out. They like to go by that and brainwash the individuals in WWE that, well, heels and baby faces are pro wrestling. We're not pro wrestling. We're entertainment. As long as you're getting a reaction, that's what matters. For all of that crap that they like to spew out of their mouths, it's interesting to note that they had Corey Graves and JBL on SmackDown and Raw each make sure that they let the audience know that they're going to boo people they normally cheer and cheer people they normally boo. So suddenly, who gets booed and cheered matters. But don't worry. I mean, the rest of the year, we're going to pretend it doesn't. Because this is the most passionate fan base WWE has. As much as they want to say that it is their niche audience, it's not their real traditional audience. This is your fan base that's keeping WWE alive. So just kind of brushing it off, or at least trying to manipulate the narrative that what they're chanting or booing or cheering is just them, quote, having fun, or just them trying to hijack the show and make themselves the superstars of the show, is complete nonsense. It is nonsense. You think that these passionate fans are there just to, quote, have a good time instead of taking advantage of the opportunity to really voice how they feel? It infuriates me when WWE tries to take ownership or brush off the fact that they're going to have a crowd that doesn't necessarily jive or sync with who they have casted in what roles. And the fact that they're going to boo people they normally cheer and cheer people they normally boo. It is a more raucous crowd. Yes, that's the nature of the business. But you cannot disregard and brush off these fans as their voices don't matter. It's just a bunch of hardcore internet fans getting together at one place at one time and the rest of the year, the other 51 weeks, that's what really matters. Well, here's the thing. I didn't hear on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown either crowd in the Amway Center cheer somebody they normally boo and boo somebody they normally cheer. What I did hear was a bigger or a more intense reaction, just with the volume turned up. Same reaction, volume turned way up. And in Roman Reigns' case, the volume knob broke off. And that was something that I will, I will, you know, if it's one of those, it's one of those times on Raw and in WWE, those rare times that when you're having a bad day and you just need some kind of pick me up, you always have those moments that you go back to, maybe the Attitude Era. You just want to feel good and kind of just relax and put a smile on your face. You're going to, in my mind, I'm going to take that moment. I'm going to put it in my brain, somewhere in the vault of my brain, and go, oh, yeah, man, if I'm having a bad day, you know what? I can always go back and watch Raw from April 4th of 2017, because that was an awesome reaction. It was a reaction that I did not know, because the Hulu version, by the way, folks, if you are listening to the Hulu version of the Roman Reigns reaction, it got cut by like 5 to 7 or 8 minutes. You didn't hear the FU chant on Hulu. You didn't hear any of the other vulgar chants towards Roman Reigns. And that's unfortunate, because Hulu, I got a sense of, wow, this crowd's pretty volatile. But until I went back and I listened to other podcasts that said, hey, all these other chants were vocalized towards Roman Reigns, I said, wait, I didn't hear that. So Hulu cut out a lot of that negative reaction towards Roman Reigns. And then when you go back and listen to it live, it is awesome. I know Roman Reigns tweeted out that that was the loudest reaction anybody's received in 2 decades. He could have stood there for another 15 minutes, all this nonsense. Yeah, it was. I wouldn't say it was the loudest in 2 decades. I mean, there's times in which it was louder. So is this a official heel turn? I guess it's kind of a pseudo heel turn where he's just going to be the guy that comes out here and says that this is my yard. But the question is, number one, who does he match up with next? It's not Brock Lesnar. That's not until next year's WrestleMania. We all know that's where they're headed. And unfortunately, Brock is going to get fed to Reigns at WrestleMania 34 next year in New Orleans. Number two, does Roman Reigns cheat to win, depending on who his opponent is? That's going to be another key. My guess is no. My guess is they're going to continue to have Roman Reigns steamroll through the roster. So if that's the case, and might as well steer the course with this character, what's really going to determine if he's a heel or not is how he reacts to the crowd and who he's up against. That, to me, is going to be the determining factor. Is this an official heel turn? I mean, I would say this is. People are already just prognosticating that this is the official heel turn, or at least saying it's coming very soon. I would say this is the turning point. I mean, you could have argued it happened at the Royal Rumble when he eliminated The Undertaker. But that reaction, guys, will always bring a smile to my face. And when the fact – here's another thing. When Vince McMahon came out and the fans said, guys – let's stop chanting whatever we're chanting. This is the only time we have to say directly to Vince McMahon how we feel about Roman Reigns. And the Roman sucks chants when Vince McMahon came out was great. I really cannot say enough about the crowd. I understand people are saying, oh, it's disrespectful to the performers. You know, stop with this chanting. I don't get it. You know, no, I totally disagree with that. I think the fans are allowed to do whatever the hell that they want to do within legal, obviously legal limits. I mean, you can't do anything illegal. But you are at a wrestling show. And if the wrestlers can't handle it, you're in the wrong business. That's the nature of the beast. Why the hell wouldn't you want a raucous crowd? If the crowd wants to get involved, let them get involved. Let them get involved. I don't understand when other fans get mad at these type of crowds when they are, to me, the most entertaining, passionate, just best crowds of the year. And to hear Roman get that reaction, it was 99% boo. Maybe those 1% of the women in the crowd, those wives or girlfriends, and maybe if you're under the age of 9, you were probably like maybe mildly cheering, but fearful that if you did, you'd get your ass kicked. That's pretty much it. It was the best reaction that I could have possibly rendered for the Roman Reigns character. And I love it. I think Roman is going to be a money heel. So, okay, you know, I could talk about that forever. But again, guys, let me just kind of touch on WrestleMania, as I said, and then a little bit on Raw and SmackDown. But I don't have a whole lot of time, so I can't go through absolutely everything. I mean, there's a plethora of topics. And if you want to really get involved here and say, hey, I want to hear your opinion on this, or I want to vent about this, now's the time. 714-868-0800. Press 1 and you'll get into the calling queue, and we can vent together if you'd like. We can go hand in hand and skip down the street and vent about how whatever you'd like, because I'm in that kind of mood, and maybe you are too. So that is the number, 714-868-0800, and you can get into the calling queue and you can join me in whatever is on your mind. All right, so WrestleMania, guys, just some other quick level, high-level thoughts. The AJ Shane match, yeah, we're all most of the consensus is that it exceeded expectations. I can't disagree. I wish I could disagree. I can't. I think that would be dishonest. Shane surprised me with how much he can still do from a wrestling perspective, not just stunt man perspective. I think that was a good thing. I still don't like the fact that Shane McMahon even pushed AJ to that level. And to think that Shane is at AJ's level is laughable. But okay, fine. They still had a good match. You know, look, I think a lot of the credit goes to AJ as well, because AJ can make anybody in the ring look like $1 million. But I can't take anything away from Shane either. You know, AJ can only do so much, but Shane has to do his part, and I think he did. And so, you know, I'm left sitting here on my hands. I can't say much about that other than it exceeded expectations, and hats off to both men. We'll take it from there. The SmackDown Women's Championship match. And guys, I'm not going in consecutive order here, just kind of whatever pops in my head. It was a feel-good moment. I think it was the right move, although you can make a case for Alexa Bliss, who in my mind was the MVP of the SmackDown Women's Division since the draft. But they wanted a feel-good moment, and they got it. I think Naomi is the hottest female in WWE, at least on SmackDown right now. So good move in her hometown, feel-good moment, yada, 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 and we move on. I think that was it was the right move, but Alexa Bliss to me is the better character and the MVP, as I said. Jericho Owens. I wasn't super impressed by this match. You know, I put this on my notes as a match that could potentially steal the show, and I don't think it did. I know Jericho, and we all believe Jericho is on his way out shortly, but I mean, they had one of the best stories going in. It was one of the better stories going in. I enjoyed it from that perspective. And we move on to maybe their payback rivalry and have it end there. And Jericho goes on his way to Fozzy or whatever he's doing. And also, the Triple H Seth Rollins match, guys. Here's the thing. With that match, and I'm going to credit Stone Cold for really picking my brain, or at least stretching my brain to kind of go with his line of thinking, in that you have Seth Rollins, who has a bad leg, probably legitimate bad leg, but enough to put on a solid match. So Triple H and Seth, with that kind of limitation, never really were able to get to that next gear, as Stone Cold put it. And they weren't. You know, that really slows the pace of the match, in which you can't have the same pace of a match throughout the whole match and have the crowd really be able to stay invested, at least not for beyond 5-10 minutes. You need to switch up the pace, bring the crowd up, bring the crowd down, know when to start, stop, all that stuff matters. And they weren't able to do that with the story they were telling of Seth's knee and Triple H going after his knee and Seth's knee continuing to give out. But you know what, for what it was, I think it was a good match. I'd like to see Triple H's reaction or follow-up, which we haven't. Stephanie going through a table, it's about damn time that she finally gets hers. Loved it. Good there. Very nice, safe fall by Triple H and Stephanie. Good. Liked it there. And Seth goes over. And then we have Brock and Goldberg, which I said, you know, that also to me exceeded expectations. I timed it. I think it was just under 5 minutes of a match. I enjoyed it. They did everything that they possibly could with that type of style, and Goldberg's very limited moveset. Very good job there. And then you have, obviously, the Triple H or the John Cena and Nikki Bella versus Miz and Maryse. Look, that match wasn't about the match. That match was about one thing, and that's John Cena proposing to Nikki Bella. And we got it. And, you know, at first, you know, I remember being in the crowd and everybody before, you know, when John Cena got on the mic and the crowd starts chanting, no, 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 that was pretty funny. I enjoyed that because I was also participating in that. But once John Cena got into it and he felt genuine emotions, that's when I think the crowd really kind of been like, all right, this is cool. All right, you know, genuine emotion spilled from John Cena, and I think that kind of turned the people, even those that were maybe booing or saying no to, you know, either being quiet or even, you know, supporting it. So that, I mean, it was what it was. It's great publicity. Al Roker with Chocolate Thunder was a joke, and Al Roker should immediately exit WWE. Never come back. He is the exact type of personality that you don't want to bring in. He just can't take it seriously. Naming himself Chocolate Thunder is a complete joke. And just so he can get on the Today Show with the whole proposal, that's all it was. So Al Roker does not belong anywhere near a WWE ring again. That's all I'll say about that. The Hardy Boys match, I think, was great. I enjoyed that. Obviously, the biggest pop of the night. Really enjoyed it. Awesome. See, and I hope that they're able to bring in that broken Matt Hardy character into the WWE fold. I know that WWE, or at least Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy, are in the lawsuit trying to claim ownership of the Broken Universe, I guess, gimmick, for lack of a better word. And so we'll see. But the whole delete, delete, delete thing is super over. I'm just curious to see next week, you know, when we're away from these rabid fans and these hardcore fans, just how big of a reaction the Hardys get, and if this delete thing even catches on or continues to catch on. All right, let's see here. I know there's other things like the Raw Women's Championship match and Sasha beating Charlotte, and Bayley beating Charlotte. To me, this moment would have meant more if Bayley wasn't already the champion. I called this a year out, except the circumstances would have been Charlotte coming in with a very long win pay-per-view streak. Bayley, who is this up-and-comer from NXT, and they've done a very piss-poor job of protecting the Bayley character. And then have the story be it coming down to Bayley and Charlotte. And it did, except Bayley was already champion, so it didn't really mean as much. I know she got one clean. Still, it really took away from the moment because it's like, well, we've already seen this and Bayley won it and her character accepted a flawed championship win. So, all right. Well, that's enough of that. Guys, let's get into Monday Night Raw. And you guys already know about the Undertaker chant that turned into the Roman sucks chant, which turned into deafening boos, which turned into vulgarities spewed at Roman Reigns. And Cole says that one of the reasons the crowd is booing Roman Reigns is because of what transpired last night. Go away chance. You know what? And I already gave my opinion on this, but I will give WWE credit for not protecting Roman Reigns here and just letting them get it all out to Roman Reigns. It was awesome. As I said, I'm glad that they allowed this to happen because the crowd was just waiting and chomping at the bit to get a piece of Roman Reigns. And boy, did they ever. So great. I just can't stand when they talk about these bizarro world crowds. No, this is your most passionate fan base. This is the fan base that is with you through thick and thin, and suddenly their opinions don't matter, or you brush them off as just bizarro. I really don't want to curse on the podcast, so I won't. So yeah, by the way, guys, it's just about the reaction, not about who gets booed and cheered. But we're going to let you know that, you know, these people are going to cheer who they normally boo and boo who they normally cheer, but it's just about the reaction. Gag me, JBL. Gag me. Gag me, Corey Graves. I understand you guys were probably just instructed to say so. I get it. But whomever it's trickling down from, and that's Vince McMahon, it is complete crap. And boy, is that the softest word I can come up with. So we had a tag team championship match right off the bat on Raw, and that was the Hardy Boys versus Gallows and Anderson. Hardy Boys retain, and it looks like WWE just kind of wanted to get this rematch out of the way so that they can get on to the Hardy Boys' next real opponents, whomever that may be. So we get Vince McMahon here, and Roman sucks chance. I loved it. He thanks the fans for being so passionate and talks about it's time to shake things up around here next week, and then gets to basically announcing the new GM, and it becomes Kurt Angle. So great. I think Kurt is going to excel in this role, which will lead to him facing someone maybe at SummerSlam at the earliest and or WrestleMania, which is much more likely at the end of next year or the beginning of next year, actually. Over a year. It's April 8th. That's late for WrestleMania. April 8th in New Orleans next year. So New Day issues an open challenge. The Revival answer the call, and they beat New Day and then injure Kofi's ankle. So the tag team division is really getting beefed up with the Hardy Boys return, the Revival. I think the Revival versus the Hardys is probably where WWE is aiming and maybe where the Hardy Boys will drop the belts. I think that is a key ending point or destination for WWE in the tag team division. Sasha Bailey and Dana Brooke versus Emma, finally debuting. Nia Jax and Charlotte. So Sasha beats Charlotte with the bank statement. Charlotte's on a bit of a losing streak, by the way, guys. Charlotte shoves Nia and Emma. Nia then lays out Charlotte. So I don't know if she turned babyface. So if so, look for that equation to balance itself out shortly. Typically, when someone turns heel, you got to have someone turn baby and vice versa. So if Roman goes heel, AJ might have turned babyface on SmackDown. There's always a balancing act when it comes to just the WWE environment, the ecosystem. You have to have a roughly equal number of babies to heels. And so just a little bit of a thought. We have a Brock Lesnar segment. Heyman tells us a bedtime story, referring to Goldberg the whole time, saying the happily ever after is you won't be seeing Bill Goldberg around here anymore, and that Brock is looking for new challenges and challengers. He talks about the 2 and the 23 and 2, and that history dictates that those two should have a match. And he throws out the challenge to Roman Reigns as the crowd chants for Finn Balor, of course. Braun Strowman comes out and says that he's damn sure got his attention. Brock challenges him to a fight, but Strowman backs down. And so I guess maybe that's where they're going next. I don't anticipate to see Brock on TV that often, if at all. I know that rumors are that he is not going to be at Payback. And so if that's the case, we may not see him until maybe middle of May, maybe towards Memorial Day, folks. It could be a while, but I'm okay with that. I know the argument is, well, it takes the championship out of the picture. But you know what? I'd rather have it out of the picture and on somebody with a bucket load. How about that? That's a nice synonym. A bucket load of credibility on them than somebody that has little to no credibility but is carrying the belt every week. And it makes it special when you see them. That's the argument. So I'd rather have it this way than the other. So just a bit of a rumor mill type of news bit there is that Brock is probably not coming back for a month or even more. So let's see. Backstage, Jericho puts Kevin Owens' finger on the list, which, oh yeah, by the way, guys, I enjoyed or actually popped when Kevin Owens literally just put the tip of his finger on the ropes to save himself in the match with Chris Jericho. Hilarious. Loved it. And so Kevin Owens' finger gets put on the list of Jericho. Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe attack Jericho backstage and put him through a table, which puts him on the shelf. Don't know for how long, but at least for the night and that time being anyway. So Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe versus Rollins and the replacement of Finn Balor. So Balor wins after the coup de grace on Owens. So nice matchup. Crowd was super hot for Balor. And lots of debuts here, guys. Lots of debuts. Shakeups, and that's good. You do have to press the reset button, and I think WWE is doing that in a very nice way. So, all right, SmackDown Live. As I said, and I won't continue to say it, but I have it in my notes, JBL just has to say the usual corporate crap about cheering people. They normally boo and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, let's move on. Orton comes out and says that he is the master of Wyatt. And Wyatt pops on the Tron and says that he is the master of nothing. And that Bray will reclaim what was promised to him. And he wants to fight Randy in a House of Horrors match. Is this like a haunted house? I don't know how they're going to do this. Like some fun mirrors? And I don't know what this is. But Randy accepts the challenge and calls out Bray right now, who actually accepts and teleports himself to the ring, brawls with Randy, and Eric Rowan returns and ends up beating down Randy. Luke Harper comes out, and they even the odds, and we get the main event of the evening, which is Bray and Rowan versus Harper and Orton. I'll get to that in just a moment. Naomi versus Alexa Bliss for the Women's Championship. Really solid matchup here. Just too bad it wasn't one-on-one at Mania. I think both of them, based on what I saw last night on SmackDown Live, I think they could have gone the distance and had a 15-minute match. I really do. It's a shame that it wasn't one-on-one. Alexa retains clean with her submission. Or excuse me, Naomi retains clean with her submission, which has yet to be named. Does anybody know? I know her finish is the rear end with, you know, basically bouncing her backside in someone's face, but I don't know her submission name. I don't know, but if someone knows, just tweet me at Matt's Madness on Twitter. I'd love to know. So the next, we had Kurt Hawkins open challenge, and Ty Dillinger ends up being the one to answer the call. And so Ty Dillinger, a guy that is, or was, in my opinion, more than ready to come up to the main roster, finally makes his debut, super over with the crowd. But, you know, anyone clean over Kurt Hawkins. But my question is, what type of reaction do these debuting stars receive when they leave WrestleMania Town with the more educated and hardcore audience? You know, I'm wondering. I'm really curious as to what type of reaction these fans will have for the, as the WWE likes to label them, the traditional fans that just get spoon-fed what WWE feeds them, and they just, they roll with whatever is they're told to do. And that's, you know, I really wonder if the crowd is going to maintain this type of reaction for the debuting stars of Ty Dillinger and Shinsuke, which we'll get to in just a moment. We have, let's see, Miz and Maryse come out dressed like John Cena and Nikki, which to me is pretty funny. I know that got overshadowed by Shinsuke's debut here, but it was pretty funny once again. I loved it. If they had a lost episode special, you know, once a month or something like that, or even just create a series on WWE Network, I think that would be gold and money. People love it. I love it. I know that it's received praise up and down through many different outlets, and myself included. So we had the violin play, and Shinsuke Nakamura makes his debut. He doesn't say anything. He just kind of stands in the ring as Miz walks off or does whatever he does. If you guys haven't heard Shinsuke's music before, man, it's catchy. It is just catchy. This guy, well, he doesn't cut the best promo in the world. He can, number one, work his ass off. And number two, he has got charisma and a presence that is not taught. You can't train it. You can't create it. He just has it. So I am really, really excited, as many people are, about Shinsuke and his next full year here. And as we roll into the post-Mania life of wrestling, and we roll all the way into next year's destination of WrestleMania 34. All right, we have Baron Corbin and Dean Ambrose street fight, really physical fight that had the crowd invested the majority of the time. Corbin won clean with the end of days, and he puts this really just, it had to happen because it puts Corbin back on the map after his WrestleMania loss. It continues the feud, which, you know, look, you have split brands. You need to stretch out rivalries. No need to end them quickly. This one, I don't mind continuing for another month or so, another two pay-per-views even, with you know, Corbin maybe getting the next win and then Dean eventually, you know, getting the blow-off match. So I'm totally fine with this. I think they go well together. Corbin's improving, and we'll see where it ends up. Shane McMahon comes out and addresses the superstar shakeup. AJ interrupts and says SmackDown Live is the house that he built, and he feels like he owes Shane something. But he ends up shaking his hand, teases like he's going to hit him, and then just walks away. So is that AJ turning baby? I think so. I think it balances out the equation of Reigns turning heel, which, boy, that sounds so good to say, and I really hope that that is truly the case. All right. We get the main event here. Nothing, I'll be honest, it really wasn't anything exciting. Bray and Rowan versus Harper and Orton. Orton won after Bray teleported himself outside the ring, and Rowan was just the sacrificial lamb to the RKO, and Randy stands tall with the belt as the fans are starting to turn on Randy a bit. And it's just not exciting seeing Randy Orton champion. I'm sorry, it's not. Maybe they're setting him up for the shakeup, and he'll go to Raw, or Bray will go to Raw, or something of that nature. I don't know. But the fact that Rowan is back tells me that Bray is probably not going anywhere, and this rivalry with Bray and Orton is not done being told, the story of them anyway. So I'm going to guess they're all staying put, but new challengers are likely going to insert themselves from Raw on SmackDown, and that's maybe more exciting than Bray and Randy. I know people are, you know, all excited about this storyline, and I don't know. It's not the worst put together story I've ever seen by WWE, but it just doesn't have a sense of urgency to it. It's just the same hocus pocus, and you know, I have to kind of put that on Randy, because Randy Orton is super talented, but man, he just kind of goes through the motions, and it feels just like a job for him. And he's so talented, he doesn't need to put a lot of effort in, which is unfortunate. And anyway, all right, guys. Well, that was my quick 40-minute wrap-up to WrestleMania, SmackDown Live, and WWE Raw after Mania. And so there's so many different things I could go off and talk to you guys about. And you're always more than welcome to tweet me at Matt's Madness. It's under the WWE podcast name. You can also check me out on Twitter or on iTunes and Spreaker under the WWE podcast or Matt's Madness. Both are the same RSS feed. So you'll see and hear all of my reviews and thoughts and everything right there under Matt's Madness or under the WWE podcast. So please feel free, and it really helps out the show, to rate and review me on iTunes. It really does help me out a ton, and I do appreciate you guys who have done so already. So, guys, I'll be back probably, I would say, early next week with these live formats. I really do enjoy being live with no net. There's no net here, guys. No net at all. And so it's, by the way, one last thing I didn't mention. Awesome to hear JR and his voice back on WWE programming. And he signed a 2-year deal, so that tells me probably pay-per-views and special attraction matches is where Jim Ross is going to be placed. So always awesome to see him back in WWE. I think that it maybe lifted his spirits a little bit after the tragic loss of his wife over the last couple of weeks. And so I'm sure that it gave him a little bit of a boost after just a loss that many of us can't fathom. So that's awesome, too, for Jim Ross, the man. All right. Well, guys, thank you for joining me. I'll be back, as I said, probably next week. But always feel free to tweet me on Twitter or email me questions at mattsmadness.com, and I will be always happy to interact. So until then, guys, take care. I'll talk to you next time.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
For the best TV on the go, choose Deploy IPTV. Sports, news, movies, WWE, UFC, drama, pay-per-view, video on demand, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Deploy IPTV Android app from the Google Play Store today. You can also subscribe at deployiptv.com and say goodbye to that big TV bill. So how much does this all cost? Only $6 per month. So deploy it today. Go to deployiptv.com or on the Google Play Store, look for Deploy IPTV.